This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thanks for listening. I'm your host for today, one of your hosts, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Susan Franson. It's good to be here, and we have a busy day today, starting with Leanne Harder, Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager. And Leanne, take it away.
Good morning. Well, I'm going to start with a save the date. Look forward on your calendar to Monday, September 16th. It is the annual Story County Mental Health Expo for 2019. It'll be held at the Iowa State Memorial Union Great Hall here in Ames. It is an event that features a keynote speaker, Jake Sullivan. There's no charge, but he played basketball at Iowa State from 2000 to 2004. It's been a great event over the years, so do mark your calendars for that date in September. Again, that's Monday, September 16th. You can check our website for further details as they are available. Really exciting news from Story County Conservation. I gave a teaser last month, and I'm sure you've heard, but the opening of Tedesco is coming upon us closely. Celebrate the unique community space that is located in the Iowa State Research Park. It's a 37-acre park that brings county, city, university, and state partners together. It illustrates those synergies that can exist between commercial development, quality of life improvements, and natural resource conservation. A very unique mix. We need to celebrate the grand opening with a social hour with remarks and a dedication ceremony. And then there's a ribbon cutting and then ice cream available from Sweet Treats Ice Cream Company, music from the Fabulous Irregulars, guided tours led by those directly involved in the construction, and lots of children's activities. So that's coming up next week, Friday, June 28th, from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor. So you go down to 1815 Plaza Loop here in Ames. If you have questions, call Story County Conservation at 232-2516. A monthly reminder from the Story County Treasurer's Office. They have started delaying their opening the second Tuesday of each month for staff development. They will open at 9:30 on the following dates, July 9th, August 13th, September 10th. You can go paperless now, too, for your tax statements. You might have noticed that when they came in the mail. They were included in this year's property tax statements, instructions to sign up to receive future tax statements by your preferred email address. So help save the environment by switching to digital, and keep in mind those office closures for the Story County Treasurer's Office. And some celebration news from Story County Veterans Affairs. Last Friday, June 14th, Flag Day, the Story County Veterans Affairs Commission held its first barbecue Veterans Appreciation event, where they had food, yard games, face painting, much more. It was at Shagbark Shelter at Ines Grove Park here in Ames. They served about 90 veterans and their families a full menu from Hickory Park Restaurant. The event was very successful, so the upcoming commission board think they are likely going to put in their agenda for every year from this point forward. The next event for Story County Veterans Affairs is the very successful and popular Story County Supermarket of Veterans Benefits. It'll be on Friday, November 15th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Plex here in Ames. And as we get closer to that date, I'll give you a bunch more information. Story County Veterans Affairs Director does want to say thank you to the commissioners, Chair Pat Pekin, Secretary Amy Rosenberg, and Member Russell Bauer, and then County Veterans Service Officer Erin Rewertz for her work in putting the event on. I do want to encourage everyone, if you're on social media, don't miss out on Story County's happenings. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and it's at Story County Iowa. We are now on Instagram as well, and that's story_county85. And then you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Story County, Iowa. And I'm pleased to have with me a special guest this morning. It's the first time I've done this, so bear with us as we do this. But Supervisor Lisa Heddens is joining me just to share her vision of what's happening at the Board of Supervisors.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Leanne, for the introduction. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to serve the residents of Story County in this new position. I'm looking forward to listening to them and hearing all of their concerns. Some of the priority areas for me in working on certainly will be mental health. That's an area I've got some expertise in, and I've worked in that particular area over the last 20 years. Also want to make sure that we are looking at infrastructure needs in the county. I know we've been on the road of making sure our bridges are reconstructed and safe, and want to make sure we're continuing on that path of having structurally sound infrastructure in our county. I also want to make sure that we are looking at helping in regards to soil preservation and water quality and ensuring that particular balance, and then working with communities throughout the county to make sure that or helping them maintain their revitalization. We don't want to have counties just go under or have us just focus on Ames. There's so many wonderful small communities within our county, and ensure how the county can support them.
Sounds good. I'm Paul Wearson here. Lisa, congratulations on your appointment, and you're going to have a lot of fun working with Leanne Harder here. She's got her thumb on the pulse of Story County, and we look forward to her reports every month, and you're going to find her a very efficient bureaucrat, if I can use that term. Now, Lisa, you're not a rookie here. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Certainly. As many know, I served in the Iowa legislature for 9 terms, stepped away from that when there was the opening on the county supervisor board. In my private sector work, I worked in the mental health and disability arena for about 20 years, have a background in education from Iowa State as well. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity.
So you come fully armed, prepared, and enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
And we have 3 supervisors in Story County, and right now they're all female.
Right. To my understanding, we are the first all-female board of supervisors, not just in Story County, but for the state of Iowa.
Well, congratulations. That's another benchmark, and I think you're going to be very successful. Story County is a great place to live, and I'm always impressed every month when Leanne comes to tell us about all the things that are happening and all the opportunities, not only for people to participate, but to serve on committees and things like that. And that veterans thing, that was great. The Veterans Appreciation Meal, the picnic, little things like that are part of quality of life in Story County. And you're going to have fun doing this. There are also going to be challenges and disputes. And as a veteran of the legislature, you know all about that, Lisa, right?
Certainly do. But it's how you approach people, work with them. You may not always agree with them. But for me, you have to respect the position that they're coming from, because they're coming from their own particular knowledge and background.
Well, I'm really impressed that the first words you said were, I'm going to be listening. Because when you take a new position like this, you're really wanting to assimilate all you can about what's happened in the past and what's going on and what people's concerns are. So rather than marching in and being a dictator, you're going to be listening to people who have their own concerns and getting your feet on the ground. I like that attitude.
Thank you. Yeah, I do think that's the best way to go about and, you know, push forward good policy, whether it's at the local or state level. You have to listen first before you act.
That's a big question in America at the local and national level. Is government listening to me? Leanne looks like she has something more to say. Is that right? She's just dying to get back on the air here.
My challenge is to make Paul cry this morning, apparently. I don't have any words to do that right now. I will prepare that
normally
for next month.
Normally she moves me to tears, but today.
I just want to remind anyone, if they have any questions about anything they've heard me or even Supervisor Hedden say this morning, they can contact me or her. But my email is lharter@storycountyiowa.gov. I always leave off the .gov. My phone number is 515-382-7247, and I encourage folks to go to our website, www.storycountyiowa.gov, and if there's anything you don't see out there that you need more information on or you think we should have out there, give me a call or shoot me an email. We can get that taken care of as well. You can tell it's Wednesday. I'm fumbling over some words.
Well, now, The key thing is that website, because everything you're talking about every time you come is on that website. And people, you might want to repeat that again so it stays in the minds of our listeners out there.
I'll do it with drama. www.storycountyiowa.gov.
That puts me on the verge of tears.
There you go. I met my goal for the day.
Whenever you talk slowly and meaningfully, I'm moved. You know? Well, back to Lisa a little bit. Now, Lisa, what do you see right now as some of the things that you've garnered from your research and listening about things that probably are prominent in your concerns for Story County? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, well, certainly mental health is probably one of the largest topics that I've heard, throughout the county. Folks want to make sure that they have access to mental health treatment, and that doesn't mean just having the services in place, but the transportation to get to and from. And we know that Ames itself has great transportation, public transportation, but once you get out into the rural areas, SciRide doesn't go out there. So it's looking at how we can enhance transportation to make sure we do have that accessibility for individuals. The other would be economic development, certainly looking at ways that the county can continue to partner with city government to help encourage economic development throughout our county are probably the top two issues that I've heard so far.
Well, you know, Susan and I do this Wednesday show, and our theme here on Wednesdays is not centering on Ames as much as surrounding communities. And for the rest of the show, we're doing things in Collins, Maxwell, and all these other places in the county. And in touring the county and going on some of our road trips and looking at some of the people we've interviewed over the year, there's a lot of stuff going on in rural Story County that's pretty neat, and a lot of community spirit and a lot of people doing their best to revive downtown business areas. And I think as one of the supervisors, you're going to come in contact with some of the terrific people that Susan and I have met, too. So I think you can look forward to very productive times working with people like Leanne in the office, and also all the people you're going to meet in the process of being a supervisor. So it's been a wonderful session today. It was Leanne's monthly comment here and informing us of all the happenings in the county. And we want to congratulate Lisa Heddens for becoming the new supervisor. And we look forward to your time and service for Story County. Thank you, Lisa, and welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you also, Leanne. And you did get me on the verge of tears. Now, next month, your challenge is to have me bawling at the mic here.
Challenge accepted. Have a great day.
Okay, we had Lisa Heddens, the new supervisor, and Leanne Harder from Story County.
In case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and Leanne Harter has just introduced us to our newly appointed Story County Supervisor, Lisa Heddens.
Well, now, Susan, it's time to move south from Nevada to the town of Collins, where the new Collins City Clerk, Katie Baldwin, will be telling us about Collins Days, taking place this weekend, Friday, June 21st to Sunday, June 23rd. And we happen to have Katie with us on the phone today. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
I understand that in addition to serving as city clerk, you're also on the Collins Day Committee. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, I have right in my hand here a newspaper with a whole listing of the events coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Collins. And tell us about how it gets underway. The first night, Friday the 21st, a street dance. Tell us about all the events going on.
Yes, we are starting off on Friday evening with a street dance held at the Collins Fire Station, and that is being sponsored by the Collins Fire and Rescue. We will have Sneaky Pete as the performer, and we're going to have fireworks on Friday night as well. And then Saturday, we start off bright and early with a community breakfast sponsored by the American Legion. We also have a lunch sponsored by the Collins Library and a supper sponsored by the Collins Christian Church Youth Group. And we have all kinds of activities going all day Saturday, including lots of kids' activities. We have a big parade.
Now, the parade is at 10:30.
Yes.
And the Grand Marshal is Winston, is it Reitan?
Winston Reitan.
Reitan, okay.
Yes.
And who is Winston?
Well, he is a gentleman that has lived in Collins for years and years, and he is actually the main guy of our American Legion post here in Collins. He's done lots of wonderful things for the community. He's been on the city council, so we just really wanted to honor him this year by making him our Grand Marshal.
That sounds like he deserves it, and he should be there waving at the crowd.
Yes.
And I think he'll have a lot of fun. I was parade marshal one year at Scandinavian Days, and I did the queen wave, you know, where you don't tire your wrist.
Yep.
There's also
the flick of the wrist.
Well, I see there's a dunk tank. Are you going to be sitting on the bench to be cast into the water or not?
Well, I hope not.
Who's going to be in the dunk tank? Is that a fundraiser for somebody?
That is a fundraiser for the Collins Christian Church Youth Group, and they also have a snow cone stand that will be set up, and a the dunk tank, and then a duck pond, and several other things that they are doing to raise money for their youth group.
So they must be a very active youth group, and I can tell that the youth group will be the one, those kids will be sitting on the bench, and they're the ones going into the dunk tank, I'm sure.
Yep, it'll probably be them. Maybe they'll be able to get Pastor Scott to sit on the bench as well.
He'd better, or he's in trouble. I don't
know
Pastor
for
Scott.
Sure.
He'd better have his time on the bench, or there's going to be a general rebellion, I'm sure.
Yes.
Here's another thing that comes to mind, Impact Pro Wrestling.
I know. We have so many new businesses here in Collins, including our new professional wrestling training facility, and they are going to have an open house that afternoon, so that'll be really fun.
Wow, that fires my imagination. You know, you look at these things, and things pop out as something I might be interested in. That would be something I'm curious about. Becca, the balloon lady. Wow.
Yes, she is one of the kids' favorites. Every single year, she can make all sorts of creations out of balloons for the kids. So then they'll be walking around Collins Days the rest of the afternoon with hats out of balloons and dinosaurs and dogs made out of balloons. She's always one of the favorites.
Wow. And then you have, it says Small Town Blues and Reds, Iowa Wine Festival.
Yes, yes. That is being put on by Collins' very own Whimsical Wine Trailer, which is another new business that has been in Collins for just about a year now. And that is the run by Nikki Snyder. She's a Collins resident, and she is doing lots of different things for Collins Days this year, and she's going to have live music at the amphitheater all afternoon, and then she is putting on this festival in the evening, which we're really hoping to have a great turnout for. So,
boy, I hope you do have a good turnout. There's a rich variety of things here on your schedule.
Yes.
And I think
there's something for everybody.
Well, there's a community supper, too, on Saturday, 5 to 6:30. Do you have
yes.
any idea what the menu is?
Oh, my goodness. My husband just told me last night, I believe it is bacon-wrapped pork loin.
Bacon-wrapped pork loin.
Wow. Yes. So that's going to be delicious, a delicious supper. And after the supper, we'll have our big raffle at the community center. The proceeds from the raffle go to projects that Collins is working on. One of them is revitalizing Main Street. We're also going to be doing a project at the city park. And then also some of the proceeds will go back into ensuring that we can have a Collins Days again next year.
Now, how many times have we done Collins Days? How far back does that go?
Well, I know it's been going on for a very long time. The Lions Club, which actually just disbanded a year or two ago, I know that they were involved with putting on Collins Days for many, many years. So I'm not exactly sure how many, but I know it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, what you're talking about is something that is near and dear to my heart, because my Kiwanis Club in Story City eventually disbanded. Service clubs are having a hard time surviving these days, and you can
yes.
see that they were the lifeblood of this festival before.
Yes.
Whenever that happens, a lot of good people have to step in and make sure that a tradition continues, because just look at all the things happening here and all of the things and activities that you have on your schedule that are in reality a fundraiser for your city, for the library, for various organizations. And so you have a lot of people involved in fundraising for their own organization, which actually enhances life in Collins all the way around, right?
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
These festivals are a win-win for you. And one thing I'd suggest to you that was very good for us in Story City for Scandinavian Days is to contact the Bill Riley Talent Show.
Oh, that's
yes.
a great idea.
Do Bill Riley, because they have people, the kids come in from all over the state to compete.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to make myself a note of that for next
year. Yeah, contact Bill Riley, because that would be an event on your schedule next year, and that would really be an attraction for people and bring people from outside of town also. So think about
that. Oh, yeah, perfect. And we definitely are trying to do that. We are keeping, you know, our small town values, but we definitely would love for Collins Days to attract lots of visitors from outside of Collins to see our town and all the new businesses that we have and all the revitalization projects that are going on right now. So that sounds like a great idea.
Well, thank you, Katie Baldwin, talking about Collins Days taking place this weekend, Friday, June 21st through Sunday, June 23rd. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Wow.
Moving from Collins to Cambridge, we learn about events of a very different kind that will last throughout the summer. Do we have Jay Robinson? Jay Robinson, the
yeah.
new librarian at the Cambridge Memorial Library. Welcome, Jay.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Susan.
You have a very exciting-sounding program, which is why I called you. I mean, what crossed my mind as I saw all of these events and ideas for this summer reading program, it's more than just a summer reading program. It's really a summer activity program. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so much so. I mean, ultimately, we tie things back to books and videos that we offer for checkout at the library, because we're trying to promote the library and reading and literacy to the community in Cambridge and anybody else who wants to come, because that's what we do. And so it needs to be a larger program than just, say, a book club.
Well, There are a couple of things that occurred to me. I mean, this is such a varied and innovative program. I wonder, did you come up with this all by yourself, or did you have a committee, or is the library board saying, hey, let's do something more than just a...
Well, it's a good combination team effort. The library board members, several of them, came up with ideas. I came up with the overall outline of what we would be working with, and basically we went back and forth and had a little discussion and came to this. Yeah,
I think our listeners are probably curious to know just what is so innovative about this program. But for one thing, what is it called?
Well, the program, the summer reading program across the state of Iowa this year is called A Universe of Stories. And we're keeping with that theme that is about space and space exploration. Very timely because this is the year, the 50th anniversary in July of the first moon landing. But a couple of things that might make this innovative is the read the book, see the movie option. A lot of times summer programs don't necessarily include teens and adults. We cover off very well the younger kids, which is great. But I thought movies is a good way. But more than that, I always say the books are better than the movie. Myself, I say that. But I want to see what other people think. And so if we get enough copies of the book that people can check out beforehand and then watch the movie. So I picked recently made movies that are made exactly from books that have been published recently or within the last few years. And that's something new and exciting that we're trying this summer. And then also having special programs such as the Science Center and Blank Park Zoo and the Gesture Puppets all come and do programs covering that base pretty well, too, with the full range of ages. Earlier on Wednesdays, we do that.
Oh, well, I when I read that, I thought those were field trips. I guess people
come to us, yes.
Yeah. But then if people are inspired, then they could do field trips to those places.
Yes. In fact, we're encouraging one sort of field trip, which is for our summer reading log for kids. We have a log sheet that has 15-minute segments. The kid reads an hour. They get a little prize. They read all 10 hours on the sheet, and they get a day pass for a parent and the child to attend at the Science Center of Iowa at some time when they wish. So that look was just what I got from a mother and daughter yesterday. Oh, well, she likes science. So, yeah, they would love to do that. So I'm sure they're going to – and several others will finish the reading.
There was another thing that occurred to me when I thought about this, two other things. One is in doing programs for KHOI, I've become very interested in the South Story towns. And on our Wednesday program, I like to feature towns in our listening area, but I'm always especially – interested in South Story towns. Uh-huh. And I started out with a program that dealt with consolidation. And the Ballard School District took such an innovative approach to that, basically playing off the strengths of each town. You are probably aware you have one swimming pool in the Ballard towns.
Right.
And it's not in the biggest town.
Right.
It's not in Huxley, although they may correct that problem in the future because they've grown so much. But the three South Story towns that have attendance centers share their strengths. I mean, the baseball diamond is in Slater and outdoor swimming pool is in Slater. So I was wondering if this summer program is intended to attract people from Huxley and Slater.
Oh, sure. In fact, the last Wednesday morning program we had was last week on – it was a yoga demonstration, and it ended up being preschoolers came over from Huxley, and that was well attended that way. There's no reason anybody couldn't attend from across Ballard. I get the information out to the Ballard Backpack, which is the digital list of events that they have for the school district, so to encourage people to come over because, you know, it's only really 10 miles across from Slater to Cambridge. Huxley's right in the middle, so it's all fairly contiguous and easy to get to. And I think people are used to coming across the district with the fact that the elementary schools are on either side in the two smaller towns and Huxley has the bigger schools. So, I mean, it all fits together and we're certainly inviting people to come over as they wish. Having said that, you know, Huxley and Slater have a very active and involved summer program as well at the libraries. But, you know, whichever ones – you could go to all of those and Cambridge ones.
Well, this was the other thing that occurred to me. Growing up in a small town, particularly a very small town, there's this, oh, we have nothing to do.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a having once been a mother of teens, I know that I have nothing to do is did not necessarily depend on what's really going on. But I wondered if these
summer programs that all of you have are to address that feeling of there's nothing to do here.
Well, especially as we get further into summer, because I can say this, you know, a couple weeks ago I was a guest at the Alumni Association in Cambridge, and that was a really good turnout, good chance to meet Cambridge folks. And then just last week was the Firemen's Days, which is their annual celebration on the street with a parade and all that. And we had an open house and a story time, and we were well attended that day, last Saturday. Those are great community opportunities. The only thing left on the community calendar I can see right now is that there's a open garage sale on the 22nd of June. Plug for that. But, I mean, other than that, you get into July, as we do to mid to late July, and there's not a lot of other things that are going to be going on. So it's another thing to encourage people to pop on into the library, because the new library space has been open for about a year or so, and I've been there myself for about 6 months. And either the library or myself, people, I would hope, take the opportunity to avail themselves of the library and myself to see what that's like and become, if not regular customers, at least drop in and see how it's going. The summer program packed with events is a way to help encourage them to drop in.
Do you coordinate with the other libraries to make sure that your events don't conflict?
Yes. There's every couple of 3 months there's a meeting of the Story County librarians, and we coordinate that way at that level. And also I'm in touch with the Huxley and Slater librarians around different things. We share a tween reading program where we're reading a book called Space Case, and the 10 to 13-year-olds can read a book and then win a – for this one, we couldn't fit the space theme in exactly, but we'll go to the Mary Poppins Jr. with the Story County – or Story Players coming up. So we share similar programs that way. But even like the events, because Cambridge is open all day on Wednesday, we're focused in that direction and on Monday nights with the movies because that's when we're open. But Slater and Huxley have a little more flexibility. They do have them at different times of the week, which is good because, as I say, there's no reason in any of those towns that you couldn't go to whichever events fit your schedule. And but none of them are stacking up against each other as far as I can tell.
This sounds like a pretty lively summer.
Yes, it is.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, are your hosts for today, and we've heard about things that may be classified as entertainment. Our next guest was featured in a large spread of pictures and students from Collins Maxwell in the Tri-County Times. They're part of a summer enrichment program offered by YSS. I followed up at www.gardeningforgood.com and discovered a fascinating story from Tracy Blackmer.
Well, Tracy Blackmer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
That's very reassuring to hear that. Tell us, what is Gardening for Good?
Well, the Iowa Gardening for Good is a nonprofit, at least it is now. It's a project where we really want to grow food that we can donate to food pantries in central Iowa. But we also want to involve volunteers in the process of growing and harvesting it so they kind of learn about how to do it, have a hands-on experience, but don't have the commitment you would have if you were trying to keep your own garden going from week to week.
Well, now, how did this whole thing get started, Tracy?
About 6 years ago, my mother ran a food pantry, and she was commenting that we live out on a farm and said, you know, we always had a good-sized garden. She was saying, you know, if you'd be willing to grow some extra, fresh produce is always in need at the food pantry to give out to people that qualify that need food. And so she was basically asking, would you grow some extra for the food pantry? And I said, sure, we could do that. And like a lot of gardens, when something goes good, you get a lot more than what you can use or even kind of give away. And we were actually able to provide enough for 4 different food pantries and still had some left over.
Wow.
And she suggested you could use the food bank. A food bank is kind of like a central supplier to food pantries. And it just so happens in Des Moines, they have a large food bank that actually distributes to 70 counties in Iowa.
Well, when you talk about a home garden, I grew up on a farm, And Mom always had a garden. And, of course, that was very important to them during the Depression and also throughout World War II when everyone had a victory garden. And when I was a boy, I discovered that I was really hooked on peas from the pod. And my mother was so good, she planted a whole row of peas that I could just gobble up. They were just for me to eat out of the pod. So I have very endearing memories of a garden. How did it end up near Madrid, Tracy?
Well, that's actually where we live. And we have, it's a small farm, about 20 acres. And it was something that we actually grew some pumpkins and things before that we would donate to like a church mission project or school raising money for band uniforms and stuff. But we wanted to get more kids to kind of learn more about ag. And as time went on, it was like people like coming out. And a lot of people are not from the farm now, and they kind of like seeing how things are grown. And so when you kind of combined it with the need for fresh produce and the food pantries, and I never realized just how short they are for fresh produce, it's like, in Iowa, we can grow very easily all the food, fresh produce that the food pantries would want.
So it's a win-win proposition. How big is this garden?
At our place, we have about 13 acres. And for people that aren't quite sure on the size, an acre is about the size of a football field. So we have 13 different blocks that we grow. So like one field is about 15,000 pepper plants.
Wow. So that produces a lot of food. What are some of the things that you grow there? There's a variety of produce, I take it. What sort of things are coming out of that garden?
Well, we still haven't harvested a whole lot yet, except for some radishes. But we have peppers, cucumbers, cantaloupe, watermelon, a lot of winter squash, zucchini, things like that that we actually talked to the supplier for the food pantries and said, what kind of fresh produce do you want? You know, what's really needed, what's hard to get, and what's nutritious as well. And we really developed a plan and kind of coordinated just how much would they want each week, because in the past with our trial and error, there were some weeks where we actually delivered more fresh produce than they could distribute in a week before it go bad.
Wow. Well, now, you talked about the folks who come out to maintain this garden, and we all know that gardening is high maintenance. It requires a lot of labor and a lot of attention every week and every day. So who are the folks coming out to volunteer here?
Well, it varies a little bit on the time of the season, but last year we had over 1,200 different people come out. And usually in the earlier part of the season, we get a lot more of the students. So we had a number of the schools, so Ballard High School students came out, North Polk Middle School came out, and then we started getting more programs. We even had some elementary schools come up from Des Moines, again, just as kind of teaching kids community service, but also hands-on and growing. Now that school's out, we're getting more of the programs, so it was just mentioned that, you know, we were working with the YSS, and the Collins Maxwell group came out a couple weeks ago, and actually yesterday we had 100 students from the Nevada from the YSS program come out for the morning, and they were helping to basically plant things at this point.
How do you supervise 100 children? That's a job in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, of course, when they bring students out, we ask them to, you know, they have their own teachers and supervisors. We just kind of say, here's the tasks, and kind of explain that way.
Well, you know, I think the main thing, I'm looking at the paper article here, and all these, I see pictures of all these kids working in the garden. It looks like they're these particular pictures look like middle school and younger. And yeah. So what an experience for them, not only to understand gardening and agriculture and how things are grown and where these things come from, but it's an opportunity for them to know that the end game is that produce serves people who have a need. And one of the problems, I'm sure, for all food banks is getting enough produce like this fresh during the season for all the demand that you have, because we all know food banks have a lot of canned goods and things like that, but the quality of food that is available when you have fresh produce really is an enhancement for the folks walking out with a bag of groceries from a food bank, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been at some of the food pantries, you know, bringing the food in and seeing how it goes, and it really does go quickly because it is of limited supply. And I think that's why we get a lot of volunteers out here, too, that are not just the youth groups, but also a lot of corporate volunteer groups and church groups and people just wanting to do something as community service. I don't know how many families we've had out that they just have their family and maybe some neighbor kids.
Well, I'm involved with a youth group project up in Story City called Summer Stretch. It's middle school kids. And, you know, we really look for community service projects because people need to know when they're kids that, hey, you've got a responsibility beyond your own family, beyond your own community, and beyond all the people you know, because there are people out there who have genuine needs, and you can be a part of meeting those needs. And so I could see why these groups are coming out and wanting to have that experience, and I'm glad you're providing it for them. Tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, it is so neat to watch the students and adults, for that matter, just wanting to help. And I'd say especially the kids, they're like, why don't you just sell this stuff? You know, the idea of giving and doing something to be helpful is just part of the learning process. And it's neat to see how the schools are really working to try and build that into their curriculum, teaching community service.
Well, so many schools have character counts as their central program in elementary and middle school, and this really fits into their plan to see that you have responsibilities beyond yourself, because character counts is all about how you treat others. And I think people need to know that others sometimes involves people far different from yourself who are having a lot different life experience than you have. And that's very educational for kids. Now, one thing I'm sure that's important is to tell the kids which is a weed and which is produce. Is that right?
Yes.
Don't pull the produce out of the ground.
Right. And we are adapting the way we grow things more for volunteers that we assume aren't experts at it. So we use a lot of things like plastic mulch and we plant into it. So we really reduce the amount of weeding we have to have, so that helps.
Yeah.
You know,
that's my bad dream. The kids pull the wrong thing out of the ground, you know.
Yep, it's happened before, and likewise we still are emphasizing things like when you plant, you know, we want things a foot apart, and of course what I might think of as a foot they might think is more like 6 inches or 3 feet, and
well,
how deep you plant. So they get good hands-on experience.
It's all an education experience. And, Tracy, thank you for being part of it. Thank you for being a key person in making sure this happens. This is Tracy Blackmer, and he's with Gardening for Good Farm near Madrid, Iowa, produce for people who are patronizing and going to the food banks in the area, and an opportunity for especially young people to understand how they can help. Thanks, Tracy.
Well, thank you.
Got any George Strait fans in the house here tonight? Amarillo, I'll be there. girlfriend somewhere along the way. Well, I'll be looking for it when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I've got is just what I've got on.
Now that we've talked about what's happening in rural Story County, it's time to tell you a little more about the artists who will be playing at the Pantorium Sessions at KHOI Studio tonight at 7 p.m. The artist is Royce Johns playing Amarillo by Morning.
Amarillo by Morning.
Oh, by
that's
morning.
Where I'll be.
Yeah, sounds exotic. Amarillo by Morning. It's a beautiful song.
It's
too.
A classic country song from 1982.
Well, the voice you hear is Ron Carson, one of our people here at KHOI. And you've heard about the Pantorium Sessions we have down here. And tonight, 7 o'clock, right here at the Pantorium.
Usual time, 7 yeah. o'clock. 7
and tell us
o'clock.
About the group.
Royce Johns, he's going to wow us with his voice. And El Cabela is going to accompany him on pedal steel guitar and make everything sound really poignant. And this is something I've been looking forward to ever since I saw Royce Johns down at the Greenwood Lounge. Greta Anderson and I went down there to check this guy out. We'd seen him on Facebook. You know, who's Royce Johns? In fact, he is wearing a T-shirt that night that says, "Who the heck is Royce Johns?"
And little did he know that talent scouts were in the audience.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he's been scouted quite a bit. He is one busy boy. I think he does music for a living. He's a young guy, 23 years old, and he's got a music sensibility well far beyond his years, I would say, to be covering songs like this. And I believe you've also played "He Stopped Loving Her Today," a George Jones song, which I cried through the yeah. entire thing.
Well, now, I was thinking that this guy, is he an Iowan?
He lives in Elkhart, Iowa.
Does he perform solo sometimes?
He does, but we kind of cajoled El Cabela to come along with him, and we're delighted that he is, because the pedal steel pads out the song while he's singing and fills in between the vocal lines. El Cabela is a seasoned veteran pedal steel player. He's been playing in country bands. He plays with a little bit of everybody, and he knows the language of the pedal steel guitar and in its role. It has a pretty specific role.
Yes,
a pretty important role.
Oh, yeah, especially in country music. There's a lot
yes.
of steel. Now, what kind of music are we going to hear tonight?
We'll be hearing classic country, and he might do a song or two. The album is called Truck Stop Souvenirs, with songs written by his friend Robert Deitch. couple, though.
Sounds like an intriguing title.
Yes.
Truck Stop Souvenirs. I love country titles and the music, obviously, but the titles are always so intriguing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the first thing that grabs you.
Yeah, that's really...
He stopped loving her today.
Oh, yeah. It's full of tragedy and,
yeah.
You know, when your dog leaves God. In the pickup truck and there's all kinds of things that happen to people in the country music world.
Well, this guy died, so he quit loving the woman he said he'd love for the rest of his life.
Yep,
his life ended and they carried him away.
So there's going to be country music tonight, 7
there
o'clock.
There's going to be... country music. You know, there's a lot of other guys in the area that cover classic country, but none of them have a voice like Royce Johns.
So this guy, in your view, is one of the best people around in Iowa doing this music.
Well, in central Iowa, doing classic country, and he's just a kid. He's 23 years old.
Wow. You know? That's just amazing. You know, there's some people are just intrinsically gifted and have a certain, you know, what does make an artist? There are musicians, there are people who can sing, they might have a good voice, but then there's that artist. You know, an example might be Sinatra or somebody who has a unique style that you can't teach, you know.
Right. And this guy never sang as a kid. He didn't sing in church. He didn't sing in school. But somehow at age 19... he started playing music, and he was playing classic rock. He was covering AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, and Van Halen.
Wow. Well, hey, this is Ron Carson, our guest today. He's here, and, of course, he's so knowledgeable about music and who the people are in the area who make music. And, Ron, thank you for being here tonight at 7 o'clock. It's one more of the Pantorium sessions here at KHOI 410 Douglas. Come down at 7 o'clock and hear Royce Johns and his classic country. Thanks a lot, Ron Carson.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in central Iowa. Paul Wilson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Leanne Harder, Lisa Heddens, Katie Baldwin, Jay Robinson, Tracy Blackmer, and Ron Carson.
And today's program is engineered by the handsome and wonderful Aladdin. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on KHOI at 89.1 FM on Mondays, Wednesdays, and 5 o'clock on Fridays. Except tonight, when Royce Johns' concert will take place here at the Pantorium, and that'll be broadcast live at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org.
Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Montenegro from the CD Travels with a Great American by Peter Oshushko. And you heard Amarillo by Morning, a cover of a George Strait song sung by Royce Johns from the CD Straight from the Heart.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership. Do it today. Just look for the yellow donate button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on
the radio.
Funding for KHOI is provided in part by North Minster Presbyterian Church, presenting the 2019 Vacation Bible School, Marketplace 29 AD, an opportunity for experiential learning. Children from preschool to sixth grade are invited to visit and interact with a recreated marketplace from biblical times, June 16th to the 20th, from 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. Information and registration forms are found at www.amesnpc.org.
Funding for KHOI is provided in part by the 2019-2020 Performing Arts Series at Stevens Auditorium. For information on ticket packages and upcoming performances, go to center.iastate.edu.